every morning, Arabile Gumede and Nastasia Arensa on Classic Business. Breakfast with MoneyWeb.
Well, the hope is that the money will continue to come in and pile up, hopefully for South Africa, in that $100 billion drive for incoming investment that is from President Cyril Ramaphosa. And he gets to perhaps share the marks, share these thoughts, share exactly where he believes South Africa should be either getting this investment from and which sectors should be getting the best sort of investment in that upcoming investment conference, which will start on the 25th of September of this month of October, but certainly will have its biggest day on the 26th, which is the Friday. This does come and will come after the midterm budget policy statement. So some clear indications there that it is part of the same sort of mandate. Dr. Martin Davies, Managing Director for Emerging Markets and Africa at Deloitte, joins us in studio. Well, rather on the line, should I say, Dr. Martin Davies. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Is there enough in South Africa to invest in at present?
Yes, good morning. Thank you. Considering the technical recession that we're in, we certainly need to take open stock of the situation and consider the government to consider strategic priorities. And chasing foreign direct investment is certainly one of them. But just to sort of state the obvious, all our, and even your previous sort of show this morning, all we talk about seemingly, and we're obsessed, and rightfully so, with improving governance, rooting out corruption and the like, and we've lost sight really of what it really takes to build economic dynamism in this country. Think raising productivity and competitiveness. There's a World Economic Forum report published yesterday, and once again, South Africa has slipped a number of places down to 67th globally in terms of global competitiveness. This should be first, front and foremost in our minds, and yet somehow it's almost second or third page news, because we're too focused on other things. And I think this notion of attracting FDI, not just the money per se, but the know-how and intellectual property that comes with it, should be priority number one.
One would say, or one would ask the question, whether we even deserve to get investment until we clear up our house. Nobody would want to invest in something that isn't looking good, isn't trying to rectify or fix itself. Surely we need to fix ourselves first before we can actually attract the right kind of investment.
It's certainly a chicken egg situation, but fixing ourselves is not an easy task, taking the obvious. I mean, this country desperately needs structural reform. Now, what is structural reform? For me, structural reform often is a euphemism for reforms that are politically challenging to do. And this involves certainly privatization. I strongly believe that private capital is inherently far more efficient than public capital. Mm. It's exposed to far more sort of, it needs to be productive to survive and expand itself ultimately. And if you're looking at the figures in the last sort of 10 years or so, the average annual investment as a percentage of GDP in South Africa was, I looked at the IMF figures, the International Monetary Fund, was 19.9%. Now that, you know, how long has it been stringy, but actually very, very bad. Typically, you have countries like Ethiopia now nudging 34-35% per year, and China, which is perpetually over 40-45% of investment GDP every single year. So if you're looking at successful developing emerging countries, think many in East Asia, their experience suggests that investment needs to rise by at least 30% per year of GDP, preferably higher, over a sustained period. We're talking sustained period, not, you know, 3-4 years here, but we're talking 2 decades or more to really move the needle in terms of economic growth and achieving decent social development. So we are significantly underinvesting as an economy, both domestic investment and FDI, which this upcoming conference is seeking to attract.
You know, if you take a look at the second quarter of 2013, I make note of this just for particularly our unemployment figure. Spain had an unemployment figure of nearly 27% in the second quarter of 2013. South Africa had a similar mark of around 25%. 5 years later, Spain have now got an unemployment rate of 15.28% in the second quarter of 2018. And we still sit with an above 27% unemployment rate. It took them 5 years to do that. And I get that they're a more advanced economy, but surely it's about doing the right things first, and even though they might be hard, look at the reward after 5 years.
Undoubtedly correct, and South Africa investment, we haven't done a very good job attracting FDI, for example. I mean, it's our average over the last 10 years has a minuscule 1.5% of GDP, which is unacceptable by any measure. Mm. And unfortunately, and very sort of contentiously, it's the wrong sort of investment. It goes typically into financial services, into real estate, in highly concentrated urban areas, think Johannesburg, Sandton, arguably. And the FDI is not diffused across a broader country. Where we need to see investment in sort of better infrastructure, better tools, equipment, effective into more rural areas, enabling productivity to rise in rural areas and spreading the gains of foreign direct investment across the country. This, you know, failure of a rural economy effectively has heightened unemployment, as you say, and has increased inequality, fueling urbanization between urban and rural areas in SA. My view on the unemployment thing, as of a week and a half ago, interestingly, there was a case, additional case, of South Korea. They declared a national crisis when youth unemployment touched 9.8%. Mm. For comparative purposes, South Africa's currently at 53. They responded by a 52 billion rand equivalent stimulus package, more not as stimulus as enablement of four key points. And these were largely aimed at tax-free incentives for people, for companies that employ people under 34 years of age.
Yeah.
Tax incentives for small startup companies, i.e. no tax for 5 years. So that's the sort of issues we need. It's not just about, again, is it FDI per se, or FDI is, of course, essential. We need to boost that. But at the same time, it's these structural reforms and doing the obvious in our own country, in our own economy, which would sort of get the ball moving, build that momentum effect, and thus attract the capital through reform rather than just sort of marketing initiatives.
If you were to give President Ramaphosa a maybe not necessarily a to-do list, but things you'd hope he'd bring out from the investment summit on the 26th of October, what would your words be?
You know, I think, it comes back to, and I'm very positive on this, is structural reform. Now, you have to choose. Do you want the current existing labor legislation, or do you want to solve unemployment? You can't have both. Secondly, clearly, the state has been unable to manage state-owned enterprises in recent years from a governance perspective. An external, maybe even domestic, shareholder, a private shareholder, is required to ensure enhanced governance and accountability of those SOEs. I think we need to start embracing get over these obsolete ideological sort of hang-ups and embrace privatization. There'd be no bigger impetus to the economy right now, I believe, if we had a sweeping privatization, a partial minority or majority stakes of extremely sort of cash-strapped, poorly managed previously SOE companies. I think that would be a real shot in the arm of what the economy needs. And thirdly is a sweeping liberalization and it's about ease of doing business. I mean, how do we? I looked at some figures and looking at sort of 20% arguably, or estimated, of all private equity capital into China is going to startup companies.
Sure.
And that's incredible. That's a lot of spend, and that talks to economic dynamism. It's how do we create economic dynamism by raising productivity, raising competitiveness, and freeing up capital, predominantly private capital, be it domestic or, in this case, on the 27th of October, foreign capital, both essential.
Dr. Martin Davies, I hope that the words that you've shared today have been heard by either the investment giants of the country and certainly those that will be helping President Cyril Ramaphosa sit through this investment summit. The Managing Director of Emerging Markets and Africa at Deloitte, Martin Davies, appreciate your time. Your traffic.